This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome to the month of March. Pray that you are having a wonderful, wonderful day. The thing about March is that that means spring, mild spring temperatures are on the way. This is my favorite time of the year, although I don't like whenever we spring forward. And I think that that is Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, which is a very bizarre time for that to happen. But, you know, they keep changing the rules or whatever. I just wish they'd set it and forget it and let us move on with it. But they haven't got that to happen yet. So anyway, rather than talk about that, welcome to the Refresh Radio program. We'll spend the next half hour with you talking about the fact that God is a God of compassion, but we as his people are supposed to be a people of compassion as well. We're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew, first book in the New Testament. We're going to be in chapter 9. We're going to be all the way at the end of that chapter. And so if you're turning that way while you are doing that, let me thank the folks at Weirich Air, Weirich, first morning with my new mouth, and still the same mouth. It's just new this morning. But they've been in Rockledge, Florida. They, for a number of years, they've been providing professional sales and services in Brevard County for over 50 years, 50. They're not a fly by night company. They've been here. They're based here. They service here, and, this is their home. And so, they travel all throughout Brevard County, all the way down to Barefoot Bay, all the way up to the Scotts, Moore, and Mims area. Wherever you're at, they can come and help you out if you need them to. They work in air conditioning, heaters, and electrical issues. They focus on residential settings. They do some light commercial settings, but they also provide emergency service when necessary, and that was very important to some people during that cold snap back in January and early February, I believe it was. They strive to provide their customers with the best service possible and at an affordable price. Dennis pastors a church here in Central Florida over in the Geneva area, and he brings kingdom values not just to the pulpit, but to his business transactions as well. License number CAC 182-1309. Their phone number is 321-632-9538. We are blessed to have them help us take care of our facilities at Merritt Assembly of God, also at my house. They are great, great people. They do great work. And if you're looking for someone to take care of your air conditioner or your electrical, they would be a great resource for you to consider. 321-632-9538. So, we were talking last week through the Old Testament about God being a God full of compassion. There's a description that enters the conversation in the New Testament, and it is a phrase that is moved with compassion, where compassion not only motivates us, it compels us. Let me read one of the occurrences of this. It says in Matthew chapter 9, verse number 35, Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field." Now, the word that is used here, it's one word in the Greek, and it's pronounced either splogkanizomai or anyway, I don't pronounce it very well. Don't ask me to be your Greek teacher, because I don't have that type of mouth. I always like to pronounce it, and it's wrong according to the audio version of my study program, but I pronounced it splankanidzomai. But it splanknizomai. That's so it doesn't have the z on it. But it means moved with compassion. And it's a movement that starts on the inside. It's something that is a driving force inside the innermost being of the person that God is going to use to demonstrate his love for people. So it is more than just sympathy. It is more than empathy. This is what I wrote down to as a definition of this term. It is the Spirit of God stirring us, spirit, soul, and body, to urgently motivate us to act with compassion, to meet the need of those around us in such a way that it reflects the mercy of God. And so the first time that it is used in the New Testament is here in Matthew chapter 9, and it's a compelling that takes place. And so the Greek word describes something that takes place like in the bowels and or in the innermost being, and if you've ever had something that was going on there, there's an urgency to respond to whatever is going on inside. And physiologically, that means you one thing, but when you're talking about the spirit, it's not something that's happening digestively. It's something that is taking place because the Spirit of God is saying there's a need that needs to be met, and God has the compassion to want to meet that need. So it's going to take us a little while to get through this. I personally liked what I had seen in the Old Testament, where it was something that it comes from the same root word as the womb. And if you have ever been in a situation where you were expecting a child and all of a sudden what is alive on the inside says, I am growing. I've got to get out of this confinement that I'm in, and I've got to be a blessing to the world. And that baby comes forth with urgency, and it will cause you not to slumber. It will cause you to make sure that you get to where you're supposed to be going. And I believe that God not only can do those things from a physiological word picture, but I believe that the Spirit of God can be like fire shut up in our bones that will compel us to speak. I believe it will be like the love of God, a blaze inside of us that says there are people that need ministry, and the God who is able to meet those needs is dwelling inside of us. And I will tell you this, this passage talks about Jesus ministering, moved with compassion. But as we get into this, we'll see that it is not only Jesus, but the saints that are supposed to be living that way as well. And so today I want to focus on this, that Jesus was moved with compassion because of what he saw. There were several things that he sees here in this passage. The first one was that he saw the multitudes. He doesn't just see a singular mass, but he sees individuals that all need him. Here in this passage, he saw the multitudes, and there were a bunch of men and a bunch of ladies, and they needed Jesus. I describe, you know, the situation with my eyes, that because of the things that I was going through in a particular season, it impacted the vision that I had, to where I recognized what was going on in other people's lives because of something that was going on in my life. Now, Jesus never has a need. He's God. He's God the Son. He's all sufficient. So he invites us to come along with the journey, with him on the journey, but he doesn't need us. He chooses us. Now, I like the fact that it says that when Jesus ministered, he did what he saw the Father doing in the Spirit, and he spoke the words that he heard the Father speaking in the Spirit. And so in this situation, he looks out and he sees the multitudes. He sees not just the group, but he sees the individual. If we're not careful, we can be just as guilty as dehumanizing individuals as the rest of society can. Well, how many did you have in church? How many did you have that got saved? How many did you get healed? And all of a sudden, we tend to minimize the one person that got saved or the one person that got healed. And instead of thanking God for what he did in one person's life, oh, was it just that? And I've seen that with a lot of situations where unless it is a crowd, it's not impressive. Well, I want you to know that Jesus was willing to leave the 99 to go and find the one lost sheep. You are valuable to him. And if you have a need in your life right now, I want you to know that he sees you. The cry of this modern generation is, "Do you see me? Do you see me?" And believe me, they will go to great lengths to draw attention to themselves. I shared this message. This is one of those times where what I'm talking about on the radio lines up with what I'm preaching on Sunday mornings. And by the way, let me say this. March the 15th, we have Danny Duvall, evangelist Danny Duvall, with us. Put that on your calendar. It's going to be a great, great Sunday, and we look forward to seeing what God is going to do in that situation or on that Sunday. He always brings a great word. He challenges me. If nobody else gets challenged, he ministers to me. And so I was sharing this story, or this message, on a few weeks ago in church, and I had heard this story on the radio where a boy was chasing his sister, and she was screaming, the mother yelled at the son and said, "Why are you chasing her?" And he said, "Well, I'm chasing her because she pinched me." And so the mother quit talking to the son and went over to the daughter and said, why did you pinch your brother? She said, I pinched him so he would chase me. She was wanting some attention from her brother. And there are a lot of people in society. Actually, there's a term that's called acting up or acting out, where people are looking for attention and they don't understand that negative attention is not the same as positive attention. And so there are a lot of people who go to great lengths, and what they're basically saying is, does anybody see me? One of the names for God says that he is the God who sees. Sarah's handmaiden was being mistreated, and she was running, and God revealed himself to Hagar as the God who sees. And so I'm very thankful for that. I would much rather get God's attention like the woman who offered the two mites, because it was all that she had. I would rather get God's attention not by acting out in wickedness or unbelief, but because I long to talk to him in prayer. I would rather get God's attention because of my obedience than because of my disobedience. And so Jesus is moved with compassion because he saw the multitudes in the reality of their condition. A lot of times people look at others and they see things that may not be an accurate reflection of what they're going through. Let me explain. You can go up to someone and say, how are you doing? And they say, I'm fine. And they really aren't fine. Well, they told me they were fine, so they must be fine. Well, did you happen to see the stream where tears had been running down their face? Did you happen to look and see what their countenance was saying, not what their mouth was saying? And so if we're going to be moved with compassion, we need God to give us eyes that see people the way that he sees people. When he looked out at the multitudes, he not only saw them, he saw the masses, he saw the individual, but he also saw that they were weary. That's what it says there in verse number 6. He was moved with compassion for them. He saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary. Unlike God, who is omnipotent, we are not omnipotent. It is best that we function in his power rather than our power, because his reserves never run out. They're never drained. He's always on full. But we as human beings can get tired. In the New Testament, it says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. When he looked at the multitudes, he didn't just see that they were tired. He saw that they were ready to give up. And God wants us to know, we are never called to raise the white flag of surrender to the devil. We are called to submit to God and resist the devil, and the devil will flee. God gives grace to the humble. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And so if you are feeling overwhelmed by a problem that you may be facing today, I want to remind you that God is not overwhelmed. He doesn't condemn the crowd for their weariness. In fact, there's an invitation that he extends. He says, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." That's the invitation that he has. And when we walk yoked together with him, he does the bulk of the work. He's the one who sets the direction. And one of the ways that we can be renewed in our strength is to spend time in his presence. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall take up the wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In other words, when we spend time in his presence, we get stronger. Don't be afraid to take time to sharpen your spiritual axe, if you will, AX. We need to spend time in his presence. It is a tremendous blessing. And so Jesus looks out and he sees the multitudes, but he sees the individuals and he sees that they are weary. That means that they were weak, but that word also means that they are unloosed or they are detached. If you have a container of water, you may, if it's all scattered to where it's just superficial, there's very little power there. There's the power to saturate, but there's not the power to get off grime. One of the things that we do generally this time of year is we have a pressure washer and we go around and we refresh our building because there is power when there is pressure. Water that probably helped bring that residual grime to the sidewalk, when it is placed in a pipe and there is a tremendous pressure behind it because of the millions of gallons of water and at elevation that is creating the pressure and pumps that create pressure. And then you've got tools that add at increased pressure and then a very, very small nozzle for all of that pressure to be released. All of a sudden there's power there because it's all confined and directed intentionally. I want you to know that the enemy specializes in trying to get people weary so that he can victimize them. I'm specifically thinking right now of wolves who will take on a much larger animal in a bison, and the way that they will do that is that the wolves can run for days, and they will wait until the bison no longer has the strength to oppose them before they victimize the bison. The enemy would like to keep us tired, but God wants to send revival. He wants to send refreshing. And the springtime is always reminiscent for me of new growth, of new heights that the life of God is going to show up. Let me share one more thing here before we get out of here today. He not only saw the crowds, he also saw the individual. He saw that they were weary, and he also saw that they were scattered, that they were disconnected. You can be in a crowd and feel all alone. Society right now, they have very few actual friends, but they can have a lot of social media friends. But even that is not meeting the need that we have as human beings for connection. And what is happening now is that many people are establishing relationships with artificial intelligence, thinking that something that is just technological is actually real. And I want you to know, you were meant for spiritual relationship. You weren't meant to be scattered. You were meant to be connected. Jesus would say, they'll strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. I had a conversation with one of the men at church here recently, and he was talking about that a pastor of a family member's church. It was a healthy, vibrant church, and the pastor got elected to a particular office, and that meant they had to get a new pastor, and the sheep scattered because there was no pastor. And the number of people in the church dropped down dramatically. That means that there's financial weakness, there's leadership weakness, there's ministry weakness, and that means that the people that are getting ministered to are going to be scattered. And that's not what God is looking for. I'm not looking for people to rally around me. I'm looking for people to rally around Jesus. And Jesus has this great ability to connect people. Listen, networking is not man's idea. That was God's idea. The family was the very first of God's creations outside of humanity. He created the family. He created the family before he created the organized church. And so I want to encourage you, don't live without or in isolation. Don't live scattered, but live connected. The body of Christ is a great gift, not only to God, not only to a community. It's a gift to you. It's a gift to me, because we need one another. Someone told me one time they ministered in an area where churches needed one another. See you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.